Good evening. It's just me and you. So Emily, how was your day? Tell me about it. It's good. Should we hold hands? I want to hold hands. Awesome. Okay, I'm going to ask something which will make people uncomfortable. If you are so spread out far away, will you please come closer? We have like 50 people in here, but it feels like we have four because everybody's so far. So if you're like in the back three, four rows, would you mind just scooting up just a smidge and coming maybe in just this section here, Haley? This section here, the only one? Okay. And just come on up, because a lot of this stuff that we're going to talk about tonight, you're going to need partners, you're going to need people, and we're going to be talking back and forth. And plus, you know what? It gets a little warmer when we get closer. Hallelujah. Thank you. Look at that. Moving up. Come on now. Moving on up. Moving on up. Okay. Well, I don't know about you, but I just feel the presence of God that he's speaking to us tonight. You know, there's specific people that word was for you tonight, what I just said. That's the word's for you. There's a hurt. A lot of times we think of all the joy and the happiness and the wonderful stuff about Christmas, and I don't want us to lose that, because there's something, I don't like using the word magic. It's not a magic of Christmas, but it's what's the word? Huh? Nah, I don't know. Something like that. Yeah, just this excitement, this just overflow of just wonderful stuff. But guess what? We have to have Jesus eyes as well, right? And we got to look around us, because there are people that are hurting. Don't lose the wonder of Christmas, but be compassionate with your eyes and your heart. Look around. There's people that are hurting. A lot of us, you know, we have a lot of good things in our life, and we have a lot of family, we have a lot of loved ones, and we have people that love us, but not everybody can say that, you know? And a lot of people might have enough money to buy gifts and presents for their kids or for other people or whatever, and some people don't. And so keep the joy, but open your hearts up to compassion. Amen? Jesus, how was he moved? It says he was moved with what? Compassion. And we are called to be Christians, which literally means little Christ. So you're supposed to be like little Jesus, right? And we need to be compassionate. Well, here we are. Emotionally healthy relationships. This is week number 7, and it is called Fight Cleanly. All right? So, Sherry, go ahead and hand out the boxing gloves real quick. And everybody find a partner, spouses, hopefully together, right? Not really. And the men don't get gloves. The women just get to go to town. Hallelujah. Well, next week is actually our last week of this series. It's been excellent. It's been a long one, but have you been blessed? Have you been blessed? Will you raise your hand by this series at any moment? It's been really good. I mean, we've been talking about stuff at church that I've never heard before. Have you ever talked about this stuff at church before? No. Everybody's shaking their head. No, these are things we don't talk about, especially in America, because we don't want to be vulnerable. One thing I love about other cultures is their vulnerability, but also their openness to love, right? If you ever watched a soccer match before, right? Okay, first off, Americans, we're just kind of standoffish. Dude, you watch a soccer match in almost every other country, all right? I'm talking about like a men's soccer match. So you have the coach and you have the teammates. And if they just win, right? They win the World Cup or something. They just win something amazing. They all run up to them and they're kissing and they're hugging and they're this close and like, I love you so much. I'm so proud of you. And then Americans are like, psh, 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 psh. We have all of those things. What's up, man? See you later, right? There's no shame and loving, right? And they understand that we, one thing I love about Jewish people is they understand that we are more than just, a Western culture is all about mind, right? We're all about our mind and intellect. You are how smart you are a lot of times. You are what you do. You are what your job is. But the culture of the Hebrew culture and the culture of God's people understand that you are more than just a mind. You're a body, you're a spirit, you're a soul, you're emotions, you're a complete person. And so I want us to open up and realize we need to be complete people tonight. We need to really get in to our emotions and not block those things out. Because when we do that, when we block out our emotions, we actually block out part of God. Because we're made in God's image. And did God have emotions? If you don't think he had emotions, read the Old Testament. He has some emotions, right? And then he sent his son who had lots of emotions, right? And all through the Bible, there are lots and lots of emotions. And so next week is actually the last week of this series, and we're going to finish up. My wife is teaching next week, and we're going to try to develop a rule of life. Basically what? Wrap it all in a package and say, all right, now go and live differently. So have you ever watched a boxing match before or an MMA fight? Raise your hand if you've ever seen one of those. Boxing match, MMA fight, something like that. Okay. So usually, right before the bell rings, the refs come out, the guy's like, hit your gloves, all right. And the ref's talking to the two guys, all right, we want a clean fight tonight, right? That's how it always starts. All right, we want a clean fight, no hitting below the belt, and make sure that you're not biting ears, Tyson. Okay, stuff like that. And that's how fights usually start when they understand there are rules. So who likes to argue in here? Come on, shoot. That's a girl that's honest, man. I wasn't even done. Who likes to argue? Well, meet me in the back. Amen. Hey, everybody else, who likes to argue? Anybody like to argue in here? I do sometimes. Amen. That's honest. Who likes to get in disagreements? Yeah, Walter, he loves it. If you want to disagree, you want to come up here? You disagree with what I'm saying right now? Have you ever been involved with a dirty fight or a dirty disagreement before where it just gets nasty, right? Anybody, come on, raise your hand. They ain't a single soul that it, some people didn't raise their hand, and you lying tonight, shoot, lying in church. Come on now. Fighting or conflict, if we like it or not, it's in every area of our life. It's in all of our lives. But conflict, they can be very stressful and even painful at times. And at worst, they can get even violent and destructive. Yet, they also have the potential to lead us into a powerful spiritual encounter. There's been a great misnomer in the Christian community that Jesus wants us to be peacekeepers, not peacemakers. Because of that, most Christians are poor at resolving conflict. We're pretty awful at resolving conflict. There's two major reasons for this. Number one, we relate to the wrong beliefs. We think we're supposed to be peacekeeping. We think that's the main idea, that we're supposed to be peacekeepers. Number two, we have a lack of training and equipping in the area of peacemaking. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, it says, Jesus said this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Peacemaking is not the same thing as peacekeeping. It's not even close, actually. Many times, these verses and others like it have been mistaught and misunderstood. See, Jesus is not calling us to be pacifiers or appeasers who ensure that nobody gets upset. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I don't want to make anybody mad. Right? Followers of Christ are not to keep the peace or ignore difficult issues or ignore problems and make sure all things remain stable and serene. You know, actually, if we think about it, I think the world would look differently if the church was supposed to do what the church is supposed to do, and that's to look into the world that is hurting and lost and broken and not just ignore it. Oh, sorry, that's not my problem. You know? Oh, I can't look at that. That's so much sin right now. Oh, that's so nasty. I'm just going to talk about it in church, but I'm not going to do anything about it. If out of fear we avoid conflict and appease people, what we are is false peacemakers. So there's some examples. I just want to read a couple examples out of the book. It says this, Carl is upset about a behavior of his spouse who constantly comes home late after work. He says nothing. Why? He thinks he's being Christ-like by not saying anything, although he does not give, but although he does give her a cold shoulder, he's a false peacemaker. Pam disagrees with her coworkers at lunch. They start slandering her boss. She's afraid to speak up, so she goes along. I don't want to kill the atmosphere by speaking up and disagreeing, she thinks. She's a false peacemaker. Yolanda is engaged, right? She would like more time to rethink her decision, but's afraid of that her fiancé and his family will get angry. So she goes through with the wedding anyway. She's a false peacemaker. Ellen, she loves her parents. They're both quite critical about how she raises her children. Each holiday is filled with tension. Ellen doesn't say anything because she doesn't want to hurt their feelings. She's a false peacemaker. Sharon thinks her boyfriend is irresponsible, but feels bad for him. He's had so much pain already in his life, she thinks. How can I add to that? So she backs down from telling him the truth about the way his behavior is slowly killing their relationship. The relationship dies a slow death. She's a false peacemaker. These are just some examples, real examples, that happen every day. The problem with some of these scenarios, or all of them actually, is true peace will never come through pretending what is wrong is actually right. True peacemakers love God, others, and love themselves enough to disrupt false peace. Peacemakers restore relationships. It brings, when you're a peacemaker, it brings harmony. It goes beyond just avoiding and separating conflict. It brings restoration, relationship, and unity. You cannot have true peace from Christ's kingdom with lies and pretense. They must be exposed to the light and replaced with truth. See, this is a mature and loving thing to do. This is peacemaking. What do peacemakers do? They deal with the underlying issues and bring healing and restoration through real love, through real peace, through clean fighting. In the Beatitudes, Jesus explains to us the characteristics. Will you open your Bible to Matthew chapter 5, please? Sarah, you mind? So in the Beatitudes, Jesus explains to us some characteristics we need to display if we are engaged in true peacemaking. Matthew chapter 5. Can somebody read Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 10? And while that person is reading it, the one that likes to argue, when she's reading it, I want you to listen. Listen to some characteristics you may hear. It's not on. Is it on? Did you mute it? Let me see. There you go.
Tap it. I think it's right. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 through 10. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs in the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. What did you hear? Go ahead and raise your hand. What'd you hear some characteristics that need to be displayed to engage into true peacemaking? Anybody? People who are blessed? Merciful. There you go. Anybody else? Real? Pure? Humble? Kind? Persecuted? Spiritually prosperous. Excellent. Yes.
Say that again.
Yeah. Blessed are the pure at heart, for they shall see God. Amen. These are awesome characteristics. Great job. See, right after this, if you read verse 11, Jesus tells us that true peacemaking comes with following Jesus, and following Jesus will have persecution. Right? All right. Everybody, I want you to say one word. Ready? Persecution. It's a reality. It's a reality. And guess what? There's people all over. Somebody sent me something today that in China right now, pastors and ministers of the gospel are actually getting beat and killed. They're finding them all over. And there's like pictures and stuff. And they're just beating them in front of everyone to show them. Literally, just because they love Jesus. That's it. They love Jesus and they're telling others about Jesus. And they're being beaten and killed. And let me tell you something. It's coming to America. It's coming to America, and we've been very, very, very blessed to be in a free nation. And it's free, but the freedom is slowly starting to wear away, and persecution is coming. Unresolved conflicts are one of the greatest tensions in a Christian's life today. See, most of us hate them. Most of us don't know what to do with them. Instead of risking any more broken relationships, we would prefer to ignore the difficult issues and settle for false peace while thinking we are doing the holy thing. Right? Instead of risking any more broken relationships, we'd rather ignore the difficult issues and settle on false peace because we think we're doing the holy thing. But in fact, that's exactly the opposite of what Jesus would do. To build the kingdom of God, you can only build on the truth. Many of us in here today have developed bad habits. Amen? I have. Arguing. We're going to find out arguing is good as long as you're going in there with some resolution, right? Not just okay? Are you arguing with me? I'm just joking. This is fun. Many of us in here today have developed bad habits, and we have underestimated the damage it has caused, and we have underestimated the damage it's going to cause in the future if we continue down the same path. To be emotionally healthy, we have to move from being defensive, reactive, and riddled with fear, and we have to move to being open, empathetic, and vulnerable. We have to change, okay? We have to change, not them. You hear that? I don't know if anybody else in here is like that, where a lot of times it's our problem, but we blame somebody else so we don't have to look at ourselves, you know? And it's our problem. Can we change anybody? Who can we change? But a lot of times we're so stuck on trying to change somebody else that we forget that we're supposed to be the ones changing. We have to change, not them. This is not something our American world will teach us. Right? It's everybody else's problem. It's their fault. Right? It's a dog-eat-dog world, and you know I'm all in it for me. That is, see, Christ's kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. It is so much different than what the world teaches. Conflict was central to the mission of Jesus. Think about that. Conflict was central to his mission here on earth. Conflict was central to the mission of Jesus. He disrupted the false peace of those all around him. Jesus is going to do that again in here tonight. Amen? Hey, five people excited. Amen. You know, amen, some people might know this. Amen means I agree. That's what it means. So amen? Amen. Jesus fought clean with his disciples, with crowds, with religious leaders, with Romans, and those buying and selling in the temple. Can I just do a side note real quick? When I read that and then I reread, do you remember when Jesus was going to the temple and he's flipping things over and he was having that conflict with them and he was, a lot of times we think that anger is a sin. Anger is not a sin, but you can sin in your anger, okay? So in his righteous anger, he was flipping things over. Think about this. Now, we've all seen it. How many times in the Christian TV world have you seen, sell this and you'll be prosperous. Sell this, buy this, and God's going to bless you. This little knickknack you hang up here and there. I was thinking about that the other day, just when I was studying this, and I was thinking, have we done the very thing that Jesus flipped over? If we have, forgive us, God. And may there be a conviction all over the place. Let me tell you, you can't buy your salvation. You can't buy your blessings. You can't buy this anointing. You can't buy those things, right? That is given to God. And the only way that you obtain that is through obedience and faith in Him. It is not buy this from Daystar and all of a sudden you're going to be blessed. No, you're going to be blessed because you're a child of God. That's why. Okay? Thank you. Now I'm back. Jesus taught that true peacemaking disrupts false peace. Jesus brought disruption in order to bring true peace. Jesus did not avoid conflict to appease people. Now, we know that's truth. The people that were so high up in that time, the Sanhedrin, right? The religious leaders, people like Saul, the great educated people, the ones that have all this wonderful stuff, Jesus came and just read their mail, dropped it, bam, you whitewashed tombs. You brood of vipers, right? You might look good on the outside, but there ain't nothing on the inside. Right in front of everybody. And nowadays we go, oh, how could he? He probably caused a scene. What? Can you believe what he just did? Yeah, he's the Son of God. He just straight wrecked the place. Why? Because that was fake and he is real. That's why. Now, he did it in love. He did it because those people were leading people astray. See, a lot of times we don't think about these things, and we're gonna address that today. Now, I don't want a bunch of conflict happening if you ain't anointed by the Holy Ghost, okay? Don't be just going around saying, you know what I don't like about you? No, that ain't the Lord, right? Okay, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is you need to be real. Don't walk around being fake. How you doing today? I'm great. When you're really falling apart, right? Jesus did not ignore tensions, and he did not ignore differences. Remember, true peace will never come through pretending that what is wrong is right. Healthy Christians do not avoid legitimate conflict. The real problem is not the conflict itself. The real problem is how we process and how we negotiate our differences. Conflict is not the problem. The way we deal with it is. Okay, I want you to turn to the person next to you. And just a couple words, real quick, couple words. I want you to tell them how conflict typically was handled in your home growing up. Were you avoiding, yelling, name-calling, sarcasm, silent treatment, complaining, anger and rage, walking away, blaming, attacking, something like that? Look at your neighbor, tell them how conflict was dealt with. Just go fast. Just a couple words. Just say it. Awesome. Awesome. Now I'm going to pick five people and they're going to tell me your secret sin. Ready? just joking. Seeing if you're listening. Okay, just a couple words, everybody. Just a couple words. All right, awesome. We got the preachers sitting by each other or something. Okay. I need two volunteers. Wife, can you be one, please? Awesome. There's some papers there. Douglas, thank you, sir. Sir Douglas, would you mind handing out one person papers, one person pens? Okay, we're going to hand out these papers and pens, and I want you to just make some notes while we watch the video here in just a moment, and then we're going to do something right after that. So today, listen to this, because you're going to know why we're doing what we're doing. Today's discipleship lesson and application is to help resolve conflict maturely, okay? Conflict maturely by eliminating dirty fighting tactics and by taking responsibility for difficult issues. I'm going to say that one more time. The reason why what we're doing today is this. Today's discipleship lesson is this, and the application that we're about to do is to help you resolve conflict maturely by eliminating dirty fighting and the tactics that we do with dirty fighting and taking responsibility for difficult issues. And you guys might have got my note up there. It's like broken in three little parts. Just keep rolling. Thank you. We're going to watch this video while they're handing out the papers, and we're just going to go right into it, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to do an application of that, and then we're going to say a few words, and we're going to go. Okay? All right. Please roll the video.
Resolve conflict maturely. As a matter of fact, many people want to start with this skill, fight cleanly. They want relief from the relational pain and tensions they are living with as quickly as possible. For this reason, it's important for us to give you realistic expectations around the skill. For one thing, you have to understand conflict happens on a spectrum of who takes out the garbage to a church split. In this session, we want you to think of this as a beginner conflict resolution tool. So we are not trying to deal with the large, long-standing conflicts. What's also important to realize is that fighting cleanly builds on the previous seven skills we've worked on in this course. So let me ask you, how good are you at the other skills? Have you been practicing them and getting comfortable with them? In order to be good at conflict resolution, you have to be good at knowing what's going on inside of you and be able to speak that respectfully, honestly, clearly, and in a timely fashion. You need to be aware of any assumptions you may be making or invalid expectations you have. You have to be really good at listening and be able to enter another person's world and listen incarnationally. You have to be able to get at your values as we talked about in the last session in the Ladder of Integrity. The purpose of this skill is to resolve conflict as emotionally mature adults by eliminating dirty fighting and taking responsibility for a difficult issue.
We each come from families of origin where we learned how to do conflict a certain way. For example, perhaps your mother was a yeller screamer, like mine, and your father was an appeaser who said very little until he would reach a point where he would explode in anger. Maybe you saw relationships in your family get ruptured or broken, but never repaired. That is all I knew. How many of you had caretakers or parents that modeled for you and taught you how to deal with conflict in a mature, healthy way? In our experience, very few of us had that. In the church, we misinterpret Jesus' words in Matthew 5:9, where he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." We think peacemaking is avoiding conflict at all costs so nobody gets upset. We mistakenly think that we are to be nice. We don't want to rock the boat, so we say nothing and end up in what can be called a false peace. Everything looks nice and good above the surface, but actually there is tension, resentment, and anger beneath the surface. Jesus models for us true peacemaking. He did not ignore tensions. He did not ignore differences. In fact, if you look closely, conflict was part of his life and ministry. Jesus overturned the tables in the temple. He had difficult conversations with the religious leaders. He confronted the 12 disciples multiple times. He was not afraid to speak truth and disagree with people. Jesus disrupted false peace in order to bring true peace. And in doing so, he shows us that true kingdom peace will never come by pretending that what is wrong is right, or by pretending there is not tension when there is. In other words, true peacemakers love God and others enough to disrupt false peace. For this reason, learning to fight cleanly is a core discipleship issue for all of us. It is important that we begin by looking at ways we do dirty fighting. So now turn in your workbooks and follow the instructions provided.
This is why we need to outsource this annual report.
I think it's completely unnecessary to outsource this. We have a team here. They can totally handle it.
It's completely appropriate. This is what we're doing. This is the decision that I've made.
Okay, you know what? You always make the final decision. Even if no one else is on board, you are always the one to make the final decision. And I think you need to start talking to other people.
You know what? I've been here for 6 years producing these reports, defending this work to the board.
Yes.
You don't know what that's like. Our bottom line depends on this report. We can't get it wrong.
You know, I'm a fresh pair of eyes. I know I'm new, but I can see things for surface value right now, okay? And I'm telling
you, this is
wrong. And
that's just it. Surface value is not good enough. You know, our team is backlogged. If we give them this, one, it's not going to be the quality that we need, and two, it's going to put them behind on the rest of our deadlines, and then where are we? This is the right way to go. You have to trust me on this. I have more, you know what? I have more experience than you do.
Yes,
this is the right call.
Listen to anybody else.
This is the way that we're going with this product. You need to get on board.
I guess you've made your decision.
I have made my decision. It's the right decision.
Then I guess you don't need me anymore.
Wow! Unbelievable!
Whoa, what?
You're drinking out of the milk again!
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you at all.
What's your problem?
You drink the milk, you're such an idiot. All you have to do is just stop drinking out of the milk. Let's just start with that. You're doing this, you have friends over, and they're disrespectful, and you don't do the dishes, and the bathroom. I don't even want to talk about the bathroom.
Okay, first of all, I don't need a dad, okay?
I'm not trying to be your dad, I'm just trying to be a roommate to you.
Well, why don't you back off a little bit, okay? Okay, I live here too. I'm sorry I'm such a tough roommate for you. Maybe we should do something about that.
Yeah, what do you want to do?
I don't know, what do you want to do? Maybe, do I need to move out? Is that the problem?
Sadly, the way people resolve conflicts in the church is not very different from conflict resolution outside the church. In fact, it is possible to be a Christian for 5, 10, 30, or 40 years and still do conflict the same way we did it as a 12-year-old in our family growing up. If we did a genogram of our families and looked only about how conflict was dealt with, we would probably see negative generational patterns or emotionally immature ways of doing conflict that goes back generations. So make no mistake about the significance of how much is at stake in learning this skill to fight cleanly.
A clean fight in reality is not a fight, but a negotiation between two people for the sake of the relationship. The person asking for the clean fight recognizes that it's their issue. They care enough to take responsibility for something important to them rather than projecting blame on the other person. The person listening to the issue cares enough to consider what is important to someone they care about. They're willing to negotiate. So, for example, I did a fight cleanly with Pete about his talking on the cell phone when he walks in the door of our home at the end of the day. It was upsetting to me. But if he was married to someone else, it might not bother them at all. But it bothered me, so it was my issue, not Pete's. Now we want to show you a model of fighting cleanly. The context is Jessica and her mom. Jessica has just returned home after living away for the last 4 years at a university. She's 22 years old and now experiencing tension with her mother around what she thinks is unsolicited advice. Follow along with the 8 steps in your workbook as you watch the two of them together.
Mom, are you willing to do a clean fight with me?
Of course, Jessica.
So I've noticed that ever since I've come home from college, you've been regularly giving me advice when I'm leaving the house, like, make sure you come home early, you have work tomorrow, or make sure you park in a safe and lit area of a parking lot, or even letting me know to grab a jacket because it's cold outside.
Wow, so you've noticed that ever since you came home from college that I've been giving you all kinds of advice that you haven't asked for.
Mm-hmm. This is important to me because I value our relationship and I want to be honest with you. I want to be honest rather than going upstairs to my room or being frustrated and leaving the house.
So this is really, really important to you because you value our relationship together, and you'd rather address this now instead of avoiding it.
Yeah. I really value having that adult-to-adult relationship rather than having an adult-to-child relationship.
So you feel that it's important to you to have an adult-to-adult relationship with me rather than an adult-to-child.
Yeah. When you give me advice that I don't ask for, it annoys me. But I know that I'm only annoyed because I'm hurt.
So when I give you advice that you didn't ask for, you're really hurt.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm only hurt because I feel like I'm a young, responsible lady who has graduated college, lived on her own for 4 years, and went straight into a full-time job. I think I'm pretty trustworthy.
So you really have proven yourself to be trustworthy by being in college and coming home and having a full-time job.
And you know, I've also realized that I'm disappointed in the way I react when you do give me this advice by acting like a child.
So sometimes you feel disappointed at how you react to what I tell you, and you feel that it's kind of childish.
Yeah. But I love you and Dad, and I really appreciate you both. I fear that if we don't talk about you giving me advice when I don't ask for it, I won't want to be home, and I'll either stay upstairs or stay out later.
You really value being at home with your dad and I. But the situation, if it doesn't change, sometimes you feel like you don't even want to be here.
So here's my request. I would like to ask that you not give me advice while I'm leaving the house, or even if I don't ask for it. And when you do have advice to give me, I would also like to ask that we set up a time so that we could sit down and talk about those concerns.
So your request is that I not give you advice when you're running out of the house, or not give you advice when you don't ask for it at all. And if I do have advice to share with you, that we set up a mutual time where we can sit down together and talk about it.
So what do you think about that?
Wow, Jessica, I had no idea that this was hurting you so much. I grew up in a really rough neighborhood in the city, and I saw a lot of dangerous things. And I think part of that is why I want to protect you from that now. It's part of my motherly instinct for the past 23 years.
So about my request, are you willing to do half, whole, or none?
Yeah, I'm willing to do all of it, but I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna slip. And when that happens, I'm gonna ask if you could give me a gentle reminder to put me back on track, especially when you feel that I've crossed over your adult boundaries.
Okay, so if you do slip and you give me advice, I can signal you with a word. And I'll signal you with the words comprende or gotcha to let you know that you've crossed the boundary.
I think that'll work.
Yeah. So let's sit down and write an agreement to review on June 15th.
All right, so why don't we do that June 15th right after dinner?
Perfect. Thanks.
You just saw Fighting Cleanly modeled. Now let me walk you through the steps. Notice the first thing the speaker did was to ask permission to do a clean fight. When the other person says okay, then the speaker, number one, states the problem with I notice. Number two, state why it is important to you with I value. Number three, fill in the following sentence. When you, I feel. Number four, state clearly, respectfully, and specifically your request. Specifically means to include details such as time and dates. Now the listener. The listener considers the request. In a few sentences, share your perspective on it. Are you willing to do all of it, part of it, or none of it? Now back to the speaker. Number 7, the speaker agrees with the request or offers an alternative. If you need to negotiate back and forth more than 3 times, then we recommend you get a third-party person or a coach. Number 8, now together, write an agreement, which you will go over in 2 to 4 weeks. Now it's your turn to practice. Follow the instructions in your workbook.
Most of us believe conflict is a sign of something going wrong, but the reverse is often true. It may actually indicate that something is going right. That is because conflict is normal, important, and necessary if relationships are to enter into their next level of growth and maturity. So let me close with a couple of thoughts. Research shows that 96% of arguments are determined in the first 3 minutes. Let me say that again. 96% of arguments are determined in the first 3 minutes. So you really want to be careful about how you start the conversation. Start softly, be mindful of your tone, your face, and body language. And if you find yourself triggered and wanting to run out of the room, be sure to ask for a timeout. Or if you started out in the wrong tone or find the conversation spiraling downward, you can simply say, "Hey, I'm sorry, I didn't start out right. Can we start again?" Now, you may have inadvertently found yourself in a fight that is complex and requires significant skill to unpack and dissect. When that happens, you will want to speak to a mature mentor, a pastor, a professional counselor. We believe these are significant moments for our discipleship in Christ. The scriptures and devotionals of this week in the Emotionally Healthy Relationships Day by Day book revolve around fighting cleanly. Utilize that time to be with Jesus, opening your heart to new things that God might be seeking to say to you, and surrendering your will to His will. You will notice that one of the readings is from the story of Jacob and his long-standing cutoff with his brother Esau. As Jacob prepares to resolve the conflict with his brother, he is filled with fear and anxiety. Yet God meets him in an extraordinary way, and Jacob is transformed in the process. In the same way as you do the courageous work of learning to fight cleanly, expect God to mold you in new ways into the image of His Son, Jesus. So now this week, your assignment is to practice this fight cleanly skill at least once. And don't be afraid. God will be with you as He was with Jacob.
So we're going to go ahead and hand out a bunch of agreements. And I want you to write down. That was very interesting. But seriously, a lot of this is very, very good. And it seems awkward to us because we're actually pretty horrible at doing the right thing. Not saying this is the only way, but I'm saying this is a good way. I wrote down a few things, and we're going to do something here in just a moment. Conflict should be a negotiation. That was good. He said, conflict should be a negotiation. And I want to apologize. Right now would be a perfect opportunity to drink from a milk carton, but I didn't bring one. I would have totally got up here and just went like this, but you can't have milk in the sanctuary. Anyway, okay. And I say this frequently when I have counseling things with people. The time to confront is when you are ready for resolution. I think a lot of times we get in arguments and really big fights because we went into that argument or that conflict when we really didn't want resolution. We just want to state our problem, right? We didn't go into it with resolution in mind. We just went into it because we're hot, we're mad, and somebody did something stupid, and you're going to hear about it, right? And we're pretty mad about it, and that's what you're going to do. If you want to confront somebody, make sure you're approaching them because you want to have resolution for it. If you are not ready for that, do not confront them. It won't go well. He said it perfectly. 96% of all arguments are determined within the first 3 minutes. 96%. So if you start off like, or somebody is talking to you and you're just like, right? Guess what's going to happen? Yeah. Ding, ding. We want a clean fight. Didn't start off so well. go to town, right? Let me just say a couple things here. Maybe there's a conflict. Okay, before we get into that. Does everybody kind of know what we're doing, or do you want me to read a couple more examples of kind of what we're about to do? Anybody? You want just a couple more examples? Yes? Okay, thank you. Okay, so for instance, if you look at your paper, we're going to do steps 1 through 7. They said 8, but I think when we went online, they must have took one out because there was an unnecessary step that they kind of absorbed into number 6. So number 1 is state the problem. I notice, dot, 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 dot. I notice you get frustrated with me when we're arguing, and describe an emotion. I notice when you get up and walk away when we're arguing, you're frustrated with me. Describe behavior. These are things. I notice when you drink milk out of the carton, I want to shoot you with an arrow, right? You know, stuff like that. Rage overtakes my body, and I look for the nearest weapon to stab that milk carton. Other good examples. I noticed you call me after 11 p.m. I notice you leave dirty dishes in the sink for more than a day. I notice you leave your empty coffee cups in the car. I notice you rarely fill the car up with gas. I notice you don't answer my emails for at least a week. I don't like that one as well. And let me tell you somebody else who doesn't. She works for me. And it's not my wife. And it's not Haley. And they might be in this room. Answer your emails. And when it says respond all, respond all! Please. Moving on. Okay, so then you go to number 2. State why it's important to you. I value. Okay? And these are kind of just some examples to kind of get going. Okay? Does that help kind of get going? Okay. Now, here in just a moment, we're going to get together. Now, this is going to be different. Now, I don't want anybody looking around the room making assumptions. But this is what you're supposed to do. If you have a conflict with somebody in this room, you need to partner with them. You need to partner with them. If you don't have a conflict with somebody, it's just going to be a role-playing thing. Okay? So that's actually a good thing if you have a conflict, right? Walter's over there pointing at multiple people. What is going on, Walter? You and you and you, and I want you tomorrow. He's making a schedule over there. It's messed up. Where did you get all that paper? Right? He's handing out things. I think there's a copy on the bottom. He ripped something out and handed it. Mr. Allard, I'm sorry. You're right next to that guy. Latinos can get feisty too. When you get really mad, if you're in English, do you get really mad and then start getting in Spanish and you don't even know it? Always. Not even a question. Always. Okay. I don't even know what you said, but you look mad. Okay. We are going to get to this. 96% of all arguments are determined in the first 3 minutes. So, we're going to partner up here in a minute, and I'm going to ask each person to go for 5 minutes, and I'm going to time it. 5 minutes, and then we're going to wrap up with prayer, and then we're going to go, okay? Yep. So find somebody, and you have to pick who you want to go first. You're going to have 5 minutes, and you're going to go through this with the person. Role play. Do a real role play, because there's something in your life that you don't have to tell the name of the person, but role play it. Okay, go ahead and partner up and start. First person's going to get 5 minutes. But on that cross it was finished. If you're done, will you raise your hand so I can know who's done? Okay, awesome. Awesome. Okay, half of you are still going. Just go ahead and wrap up real quick. Excellent. Did you guys make sure to write an agreement and then come back in 2 to 4 weeks? Okay. Let your word be your bond. Okay, we're going to go ahead and wrap up. Awesome. Good job, everybody. So, I want to ask you one or two questions, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go. What do you feel was most helpful about the clean fighting process? Go ahead and raise your hand. I'll say it. What do you think was helpful?
Clarifying. What the person said by saying it back to them to make sure that you understand it correctly.
Okay, awesome. That's good. Anybody else? One more? Maybe. Good answer. Good answer. Yes, ma'am.
Reconsidering, taking a step back from being mean in the situation.
Take a step back from being mean,
yeah.
Right? Unclench your fists for a moment.
Right.
Come in.
It's hard.
Amen. Yeah, that's real. Okay, great. What do you find, so that was something that was maybe good. What is something that you found very difficult? Something you found very difficult, Miss Haley?
That sometimes you're upset and that's something that has nothing to do with them, but it's just like unspoken expectations.
Yeah. That's real. Amen. We all have unmet and unsaid expectations. Anyone else? Had a girl.
Even though it wasn't between us, I still had a hard time with eye contact. Like, talking about my feelings and keeping eye contact with
yeah.
her. Because
yeah.
I
vulnerability.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. Will you mind holding that, please? Okay, great. Just real quick, last question, and I'll just raise your hand and we can just say it out. What blessings might there be on the other side of learning this very important skill in your personal life, relationships, at work, or at church? What do you think are some of the blessings if we can learn some of this and do this in our life? What are some blessings? Go ahead. Restored relationships. Amen. Conflict. Less arguing. Silent. Moment of silence. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Less jumping to conclusions before you understand. Amen.
Usually relationships
get destroyed. Here, let's start again.
All right. We learned from a counselor a few years back, relationships get completely destroyed at the point where communication just stops altogether. And that usually starts when there's contempt that builds up over time. So if you can get rid of those little grains of sand that turn into piles of sand and then avalanches that eventually become contempt and then lack of communication, you know, so it really starts with these little things that over time turn into huge mountains.
Amen. We'll do two more.
I think by learning to do this and settling the little conflicts that we'll have more joy.
Amen. Amen. Last one. Good answer.
I went through this like last week, and the best thing that I got out of it is having compassion for the one who is hurting that is coming at you and wondering why they feel the way they feel. But it gave me compassion, and to pray and not to be angry towards them, but to pray for them to heal. So
very good. Put yourself in their shoes. Amen. Well, let me pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this night. God, thank you for helping us to fight cleanly. God, you are not hurt by arguments or exposing the things that need to be exposed, God. But may you teach us in the way that Jesus did it. May we do it with love and truth. May we be peacemakers and not peacekeepers. Lord, may we do what we're called to do. Lord, and may you give us the strength and the boldness to do that. May we be vulnerable in all situations when it comes to this as well. And let us see ourselves in somebody else's shoes as well and confront that issue that needs to be confronted for resolution. Lord, you're all about relationships. You came here to have a relationship with us again because we cut it off with sin. And God, we need to be about relationships as well. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We hope to see you on Sunday. Bye-bye.